Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen, amen. Good evening. We'd like to thank you once again for tuning in to Blog Talk Radio. We are New Beginnings, and we're here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock. And we do thank you for taking out the time to be a part of this hour. Amen. You are a blessing just for being able to join us, and we do thank you. For those of you who are taking out time for you have other events and you take out time to be a part of this. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We're going to move forward. We'd like to let you know that if you would like to listen to this message again, you can go into the archives, and in the archives, you will be able to pull up this message again. Amen. And in order to do that, you would go into Blog Talk Radio and then type in We Can Begin Again. We Can Begin Again. And once you, you're able to get in, you can listen to any of the message that we have. And you can listen to this message and or any of the other messages that we have. Amen. We also like to inform you that if you listen to a message and it speaks to your spirit, share it with a friend. Amen. Oftentimes we grow up learning music, hearing music, and we are sharing music that we like. Share the word of God. Amen. The Bible says we should always be ready to put on the shoes and ready to spread the good news. Amen. And share it with those that gives peace. Amen. And that's what the word does. It gives us peace. Amen. So if you want to be a blessing to someone, do just that. Hey, okay. We are in Macedonia this evening, and we are thankful to have Reverend Maddie Hutchison on this evening with us again, speaking from Proverbs 18, and we're looking forward to what God has placed on her heart. For those of you who would like to get on to the Zoom, the Zoom number is 505-563-6808, and the code, the passcode is Psalms 23. That's a capital P, S-A-L-M 23, and you can get on the Zoom. We are encouraging those to use the Zoom. Amen. You not only hear a voice, but you also actually can see a face. So we would like to inform you that you can do that as well. For those of you who are listening by internet, if you would like to call in and participate when the speaker opens up the mic and ask for any questions as she is or he is going through the message, the call-in number is 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054, and you can be a part of this interactive Bible ministry this evening. Amen, and we do thank you. We do thank you. Amen. Reverend Hutchison, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Amen.
Pastor John,
amen.
I have 17, not 18. Are you sure I'm right?
17.
Am I wrong?
That's my error. You're right. It's 17.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say, oh, my God.
Charge it. Hey, Reverend Matt, charge it to
don't
my mind.
Don't scare me.
Please.
Okay. All right. I was like, oh, my God, what do I do now? Okay. We're good. Okay. So are we ready?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Did you want me to open in prayer, or are you going to do it?
Oh, please do. Please open up in prayer.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you, Father. Oh, most gracious and kind Father, we just thank you once again, Father God, for an opportunity to share your word with other believers and those who are seeking you as well, Father. Father, you said your word was life and it's medicine to our flesh, Lord God. So, Father, we thank you for your word that you open up to us, Lord God. And, Father, help us to be hearers of your word and not just hearers only, but doers of your word, Father God. So as we learn tonight, Father, may we make application of every word that is spoken in our lives today, Father God, that we might be more like you, more like Jesus every day, Father, in our living. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Once again, we are looking at Proverbs, and again, Proverbs makes a clear statement of its purpose. It is to impart wisdom for godly living. In the first few chapters, Solomon follows the advice to young people. He gives them advice, although most of the material in this section is directed at young people. But all who seek wisdom will greatly benefit from these wise words. This is where one can discover the source of wisdom, the value of wisdom, and the benefit of wisdom. Though Proverbs is essentially a wisdom handbook on living rightly and prudently, the necessary foundation of that wisdom is explicitly stated as being the fear of the Lord. When we have the fear of the Lord, it begins with a humble submission to God. And in 1 Corinthians 1:30, Jesus is made unto us wisdom, and in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, according to Colossians 2:3. Let's start in chapter 17. It starts with verse 1. A meal of bread and water is in content. Peace is better than a banquet spiced with quarrel. Here Solomon says, it is better to have a meal of bread and water than to be in a house full of quarrel and animosity. In other words, with confusion and no peace. Proverbs 15:1 is a cross-reference, and it says, better is a dish of vegetables where love is than a fattened ox served with hatred. That sounds pretty good to me. That's a no-brainer. Who wants to live in conflict and chaos every day? Verse 2 tells us, a wise servant takes charge of an unruly child and is honored as one of the family. A slave who deals wisely will rule over a son that acts shamefully and will share the inheritance as one of the family. Eleazar, the servant of Abraham, was just one of those servants, just such a servant, in Genesis 15:2-3. Verse 3 tells us, as silver in a crucible and gold in a pan, so our lives are refined by God. It takes extreme heat to refine silver and gold. It is the same with our lives in Christ. He allows the trials and tests to come to show us what is in us and clears out anything that's not like him that would get in the way of complete trust in him. Peter tells us this, trials come so that the proof of your faith, being precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul even tells us that Jesus learned obedience by the things that he suffered. So when we go through testing trials, let's remember that we identify with Christ in those sufferings. Verse 4 tells us, evil people relish malicious conversation. The ears of a liar itch for dirty gossip. In Proverbs 14:15, which is my cross-reference, also states that a naive person believes everything, but the sensible man considers his steps. The NIV translation states, that evildoers giveth heed to wicked lips, and a liar giveth ear to a mischievous tongue. Gossip, we love it. We love dirty stuff. We love to hear something about somebody else. But it's not God. It's not godly at all. Verse 5 tells us, whoever mocks poor people insults their creator. Gloating over misfortune is a punishable crime. Whoever makes fun of the poor insults God. That person is made in the image of God, image and likeness of God. Your gloating over his misfortune will, God will judge you for it. The NIV reads it this way, that whosoever mocketh the poor reproaches his maker, and he that is glad at calamity shall not go unpunished. Verse 6 tells us, all people are distinguished by grandchildren. Children take pride in their parents. The life application tells us that grandchildren are the crown of old men, and the glory of sons is their father. Truism is illustrated by every grandfather or mother who just happens to have a picture of their grandchildren. It is an honor for parents when they are old to leave their children's children growing in that and treading in the steps of their own virtue and are likely to maintain and advance a reputation for the family. And children that take pride in their parents, it is an honor to children to have wise, godly parents and to have them continue to them even after they have grown up and settled in the world. Verse 7 tells us, we don't expect eloquence from fools, nor do we expect lies from our leaders. Excellent speech becometh not a fool, much less do lying a prince. Proverbs 24:7 tells us, wisdom is too exalted for a fool. He does not open his mouth in the gate. We all know scoffers, people who mock every word of instruction and advice. They never find wisdom because they don't seek it seriously. Wisdom comes easily to those who pay attention to experienced people and to God. If wisdom does not come easy to you, maybe you should check your attitude. Nor do we expect lies from our leaders. Let fools be false and good men true. Honest words do not become a fool, much less does lies of a moral and correct behavior of a man. Verse 8 tells us, receiving a gift is like getting a rare gem stone. Any way you look at it, you see beauty refracted. The NIV tells it this way, both the offering and the receiving of bribes is sinful. But this proverb states that a shameful truth that in our workaday world, bribes get the job done. There is no endorsement here, either giving or receiving bribes is as being acceptable. The Revised Standard says it this way, a bribe is like a magic stone in the eyes of him who gives it. Wherever he turns his he prospers. Solomon was not condoning bribery, but he was making an observation about the way the world operates. As we go on to verse 9, overlook an offense and bond a friendship. Fasten onto it a slight and goodbye to friends. When we overlook offense, we save a relationship. He who conceals a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates intimate friends. Here Solomon is saying that we must forgive the sins of others. Covering offenses is important to any relationship. However, in Proverbs 10, it says, hatred stirs strife, but love covers transgression. Hold on to an offense, and you can lose your friend. It is easy to bring up all the past transgressions to prove your point, but is it worth it? No. Love keeps its mouth closed. Verse 10 tells us, a quiet rebuke to a person of good sense does more than a whack on the head of a fool. The life application states it this way, a rebuke goes deeper into one who has understanding than 100 blows into a fool. A threat breaks the heart of a wise man, but a fool, though spurs, understands not. When a man lacks wisdom, nothing you can say will change him. Verse 11. Criminals out looking for nothing but trouble won't have to wait long. They'll meet it coming and going. There's an old saying that says, you look for trouble, you will surely find it. An evil man seeks only rebellion, therefore a cruel messenger shall be sent against him. He is evil indeed that seeks all occasion to rebel against God and the government God has set over him, and to contradict and quarrel with those about them. He picks quarrels. There are some who are in opposition of any kind of authority. An evil man seeks things that do not exactly fit the term rebellion. But from the view of an Eastern king like Solomon, any prominent crime by a subject may have been considered as rebellion. The cruel messenger would have been the king himself. Verse 12 tells us, better to meet a grizzly robbed of her cub than a fool hell-bent on folly. Here, this is an impressive warning against conflict with a foolish, wicked man. He is an evil man and dangerous. He will come against anyone who stands against him, comes his way. So be careful of foolish people. Just leave them alone. Verse 13 tells us, those who return evil for good will meet their own evil returning. The NIV translation says this, whoso rewarded evil for good, evil shall not depart from his house. You will reap what you sow. Galatians 5 and 7 tells us, God is not marked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. This is a mischievous man represented here. To render good for evil is devilish. Mm-hmm. He is an ill-natured man who, because he has resolved not to return kindness, will revenge it. The truth of this is played out in the life of David after he murdered Uriah, after he slept with his wife. He rewarded Uriah's integrity and faithfulness with evil. The Lord told David shortly after that, from that day on, that evil would never depart out of his house. Verse 14 tells us, the start of a quarrel is like a leak in a dam, so stop it before it bursts. That NIV says, the beginning of strife is as when one letteth water out, therefore leave off contention before it be meddled with. The danger of strife is one harsh word, like, you always say that, or you always do that. One angry word demands starts another. Water that constantly drips will soon get on your nerves. So at the first drop, stop it. Shut your mouth. Once it becomes a constant stream of water, you have a serious problem. Proverbs 20 and 3 states, it is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. If you start an argument, it's like breaking a hole in a dam. So stop the arguments before they get any bigger. You don't have to win every battle, and you don't have to comment on everything that's said, though we want to. Verse 15 tells us, whitewashing bad people and throwing mud on good people are equally apparent to God. NIV says, he that justifies the wicked and he that condemns the righteous, both alike are an abomination to God. Making a bad person look good and degrading a good-faced person are both bad in the eyes of the Lord himself. So don't do it. Don't do it. Verse 16 tells us, what's this? Fools out shopping for wisdom? They wouldn't recognize it if they saw it. The Amplified states it this way. Of what use is money in the hand of a self-confident fool to buy skillful and godly wisdom when he has no understanding or heart for it? He has set his heart upon other things so that he has no heart, nor skill, nor will, nor courage to improve his advantage. verse 17. Friends love through all kinds of weather, and family stick together in all kinds of trouble. The Amplified says, a friend always loves and is born as a brother for adversity. So a brother is born to help in hard times. So we must help each other. And that brother is not just your biological brother, it's mankind. Verse 18 tells us, it's stupid to try to get something for nothing or run up huge bills you can never pay. This verse gives a very strong warning against taking responsibility of another man's debt or when standing up for someone, thinking that he will follow through on his promises. It's talking about being a co-signer on someone else's bill. In another version, it says, my son, if thou be surety for a friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with strangers, shall smart for it. You should be smart for it. And he that hateth suretyship is more. It is your responsibility if you don't pay. It causes rift in a relationship and family. It says, to strike a hand confirms a contract by a handshake should the borrower default on the loan. So I've been in a couple of cases where I was co-sign for someone, and guess what? It brings a hardship. You can lose a relationship and friendship behind that, those type things. That's why Solomon warns not to do it. So we must heed to what the Word of God says. Verse 19 tells us, the person who courts sin marries trouble. Build a wall and invite a burglar in. NIV says, he loveth transgression that loves strife. He raises high his gates and seeketh destruction. He who is found of crime must be found of trouble. And to make one's doorway inaccessible is to invite destruction. Another rendition of the last clause is, he who builds a lofty entrance invites thieves in. Listen at that now. The idea behind this is that the thief believes that the builder is protecting valuables, so such as an inch by his entrance. You're inviting them in by putting the bars on the doors and all of the bells and whistles out in the yard. They want to come in because they figure you must have something of value. Verse 20 says, a bad motive can't achieve a good end. Double talk brings you double trouble. NIV says, he that hath a wayward heart findeth no good, and he that hath a perverse tongue falleth into mischief. One scholar says, a bad motive can't achieve a good end. This clause here speaks of a certain type of cynical, bitter man who cannot see good in anything or anyone. The second clause, he has a perverse intermission. He who turns himself about with his tongue, that is, he says one thing at one time and something else at another time. So I call it talking out of both sides of your mouth. Can't do both. It's either one or the other. Verse 21 tells us, having a fool for a child is misery. It's no fun being the parent of adult. He that getteth, in the NIV says, he that begetteth a fool does it to his own sorrow. And the father of a fool hath no joy. Proverbs 10:1, which is a cross-reference for this verse, the Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father. But a foolish son is the heaviness of a mother. How horrible it is to have a foolish child. We are not only disappointed in them, but that proves the greatest cross in which we promise ourselves most satisfaction. There is joy when a man child is born, and yet, if he is vicious, his own father was wished he had never been born, like David and Absalom, signifies his father's peace, but he was his father's greatest trouble. He wanted to kill his father. How sad. Verse 22 tells us, a cheerful disposition is good for your health. Gloom and doom leave you bone dry, bone tired. The scripture tells us a merry heart is like a medicine, but a broken spirit drives the bone. Being cheerful is healthy for us. The Lord is for the body and has provided not only meat, but medicine, and have, here he tells us, the best medicine is a merry heart. He means a heart rejoicing in God and serving him with gladness and then taking comfort of outward enjoyments and particularly that of pleasant conversation. Verse 23, the wicked takes bribes under the table. They show nothing but contempt for justice. The NIV says, a wicked man taketh a gift out of the bosom to pervert the ways of judgment. He is a wicked man that takes a gift to engage him to give a false testimony, verdict, or judgment when he does it ashamed of it, for it takes it for it with all the secrecy imaginable. The course of justice is not only obstructed, but turned into injustice, and the greatest wrongs are done under the guile of doing right. In other words, you lie for profit. God hates liars, by the way. Verse 24 says, the perspective find wisdom in their own, I'm sorry, the preceptives find wisdom in their own front yard. Fools look for it everywhere, but right here. Wisdom is before him that hath understanding, but the eyes of the fool are in the ends of the earth, says the Spirit-filled version. A discerning man keeps wisdom in view, but a fool's eyes wander to the ends of the earth. Faithful and successful living requires that you give close attention to the word at hand, that the diligent takes care of the present business, but a fool throws away the powers and opportunities that might have blessed him, having his attention continually diverted by hundreds of different things. I know many of us have probably met people like that. They're just all over the place. Never finish anything because they never follow through with anything that you tell them. Verse 25 says, surely a stupid child is sheer pain to a father, a bitter pill for a mother to swallow, similar to the verse that we just had. Wicked children are an affliction to both their parents, and that was similar to verse 21. Verse 26 says, it's wrong to penalize good behavior or make good citizens pay for the crimes of others. To impose a fine on the innocent is not right, or to beat a noble for their integrity. In a society like our own, where not even the most vicious criminals are consistently either fined are punished, and the latter mostly never. Here we can see right today how we have criminals that are walking the street every day, and yet no one has arrested them. But those who haven't done anything, they are subject to spend time in prison for little or nothing just because of who they are or the color of their skin. We live in that society right now. Verse 27 tells us, the one who knows much says little. An understanding person remains calm. Verse 28 is combined with that. Even dunks who keep quiet are thought to be wise. Even if they keep their mouth shut, they're smart. In the NIV, it says, he that hath knowledge spares his words. Those who are wise will refrain from speech and be cautious in what they say. They will not exaggerate this truth or harm others when speaking. They will be careful to speak accurately and edify others. Psalms 39:1-2. There are two ways a man show himself wise. A man chooses his words wisely. He keeps his cool and remains calm when he does speak. He speaks to the purpose and says little in order that he may take time to deliberate. That is the end of 17. I want to open it up now if there's any questions or comments.
Amen. All mics open now.
Yes.
That's any comments? Any references?
Yes.
You did a nice job getting through this in a timely manner. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. The mics on. Anything that
lots
any of these? Yeah. Amen. Amen. You did it.
I would like to make a commentary. It's a very profound word, God's word. And oftentimes we'll run into people who think they know everything or speak in a foolish manner. And sometimes that causes you harm. And sometimes you have to know when to step away. And for your own benefit, and also be true to God's word. But anyway, this just kind of reiterates God's word and the teachings that many of us have. And sometimes we can become frustrated and lose track of where we're going, our direction, and just say things that we really shouldn't say. You can be right, or you could be happy. But anyway, you speak of children that have a foolish child. You know, it's kind of a misery to a parent. And to have a wise child is something to be proud of.
Yes.
It brings pride to you. But we're children, and God is our Father. So anyway, we have to act accordingly. But anyway, I found this word to be very, very profound and very much to the point. Thank you.
Thank you. Man.
It's always good. I love the Proverbs and the say that you commit that we should read while growing up, like a
proverb.
Late 20s and 30s, that to read a proverb a day, not get it even more so now, just reading. Then I think about, like, in chapter 17, like you were saying, how it was like the Solomon was preaching, repeating statements or repeating themes three and four, you know, two or three times.
Yeah.
And it makes, like, in African cultures, and what we call Middle Eastern, which is Northern Africa, African cultures, how a lot of the poetry, the songs, and proverbs, they will repeat something, repeat it over and over again. That's the important.
Mm-hmm.
And when we teach, and like typically, like especially Baptist preachers, will tell you, will give you the message three different ways, but it's the same message.
Amen.
Taught when they're or same concept, and in the classroom, different ways, an abstract, and then you practice it. So hear things like how important it is for us to raise our children, to teach them to ask for wisdom, to teach them to listen. It's so important. This is a good word,
amen.
And I love it. The way that you teach off, Reverend Maddie. I do appreciate you.
Thank you. I noticed that it's almost like if you read the Proverbs, you will find where he does repeat, it kind of repeats itself over and over in different chapters, in different ways. But isn't that like raising children? Training takes repetition, right? So you constantly saying the same thing over and over to them until they get it. Till they get it. And you don't say it one time and then just say, okay, I've told you that already. I'm not going to say it anymore. It's a constant, run roughshod with, you know, instructions. Don't do this. Don't do that. But over a lifetime, you remember everything that your mother told you as a child. I can today can go back and say, I remember when Mama told me this, 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 and this. It was through a life of hearing this daily and probably over the years, I learned a lot of things. And the Word of God is the same way. We learn by repetition, by hearing it, and we only know God by knowing his Word. That's the only way we know him. This written Word is his Word for us, and the way we get to know him is by eating it up, just constantly feasting on it. And, you know, my brother always say you feed a kid long enough, a dog long enough or whatever, they start to look like you and all of that. Yeah, that's kind of what we look like. If we eat the Word of God enough, we start to look like Jesus and act like him.
Man.
If we take it in daily, as a daily diet.
Man.
Yeah.
We become his sweat.
Anyone else?
Well, I'd like to add on, the part that really caught me was toward the end, and it was talking about, where was it? I'm looking at the King James. He that has knowledge spareth his word, and a man of understanding is excellent spirit. And I just thought that was, that was pretty deep. He that has knowledge spareth his word. And you would think when you run out that many people who have knowledge, they want to show that they have the knowledge. Let me go back. Those that don't have the knowledge want to show that they are knowledgeable. So they do a lot of talking, simply because they want to be heard, recognized or being smart. And then it goes on and says, a man of understanding, someone who understands a lot is of an excellent spirit, in terms of the spirit and how we are to respond, slow to anger and slow to, to speaking out, because words are so powerful that it can build you up or words can tear you down. And the hardest thing to do is come say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for what you say. Because once it's said, it's said. It's said. It's hard to go back.
Right.
And a person can say they forgive you, but they will not forget you.
That's right.
I thought that was, pretty profound in terms of just when you understand things, you have an excellent spirit. You're able to understand and be able to read things and know when to and when not to, and God just allows our spirit to be. We run into situations and sometimes we can open our mouths in the wrong place. And nowadays, I just hate to say it, we are living in times of where many people just don't trust you. And you might just say something and they feel that you are, how do they use it, disrespecting them.
Yeah.
By what you say, it might be true, but you're disrespecting. You have to be very careful in how you speak to someone and the way that the words that we use we communicate with others. And also to piggyback off of in terms of repeating ourselves, constantly repeating ourselves. Oftentimes we get tired or we get exhausted from repeating ourselves to our kids, but in actuality, you know, that's training.
That's training.
We remember it by repetition. So, you know, I wanted to, you know, share that. That's what, you know, that stood out to me at that time.
And when we speak to someone, we don't have to prove a point by saying certain things, but we want to make sure that when we do speak, that we edify, not tear down. So you would have to choose your words wisely, because if you use one wrong word, you subject to cause an argument, which it wasn't intended to be. But if you choose your words wisely, you can calm all of that down. You can stay away from that territory altogether, you know. And who wants to be attacked? You know, who wants to be attacked? It's a way to say something without attacking a person. And you might have just, I won't say curse them out, you might have really gave them the riot act, but it was the way you said it. And you didn't raise a thing. You didn't raise your voice. So it is something to think that, you know, we do need to choose our words wisely, and we need to be quiet at a lot of times, most of the time. We need to be quiet instead of speaking. Yeah, because you're right.
Things to do, you know, hardest things to do. Anybody always say, you know, when I'm working with kids, you know, that those kids that like to do a lot of talking, anybody can talk. A baby can talk.
Sure.
But not everyone can listen.
That's
not
true.
Everyone can.
Yeah.
And that's a skill within itself. It's listening.
Pastor, I am learning that myself, that I have to learn to listen more to what is being said. You know, I have a tendency to, I'm already thinking of what to say because you're speaking, but I do have to have a tendency, even with my children, to listen more before I speak. And I'm finding myself more and more apologizing now for saying certain things where at one time I didn't even recognize it, didn't even think of it as being an offense to the child or anybody else. But God has made me so aware of it now that if you offend someone, just say, I'm sorry. I hope that I didn't offend you in what I said. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. I think it takes a real big person to admit that they are wrong and they have been wrong. So why not be the bigger person? Why not be the bigger person? Yeah.
Amen.
Anyone
else?
I'm
sorry. Go ahead, please.
No, that was me. I was just saying, is there anyone else that had a question or a concern?
Well, even for the silent listeners, those numbers that are on here, the silent listeners, you know, oftentimes I always say that when you're sitting around and you are feeding off the Word of God, and sometimes, you know, when the food is good, you know, you just want to digest it. You just want to digest it, you know. And when the food is good, you know, and you're sitting at a table and everyone is eating, the food is good, oftentimes you don't hear anyone say anything. No one is talking.
No.
Everybody's just eating and feeding off the Word feeding off the food and enjoying it. And that's just the way the Word of God is. Sometimes it speaks to our spirit. And we kind of reflect on what has been said, you know, rather than speaking out, you know, it becomes an internal, you know, not external, but it becomes internal, you know, where you begin to start to resonate in our spirit in terms of what we did. How does that apply to me? You know, how does that apply to me? That's what I love.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's always something in here that's going to speak to our spirits or our journey in life or whatever we may be going through with our kids or on our job or whatever the case may be. You know, there's always going to be mm-hmm. something that speaks to me.
Amen.
To me.
Amen.
The word does not come back void.
Amen. I'm reminded of the one verse about the fire, how it refines us and all of that. And that is so true, that God uses trials to refine us. And just because you are going through a trial doesn't mean that God has forgotten or that you necessarily did anything wrong. But we really don't learn in good times. We really learn in hardship. We really do. If God just gave us everything that we wanted and life was just, you know, super every day, we wouldn't have the appreciation for him as we should. But just as I said, that scripture in Hebrews, Jesus learned obedience by the things that he suffered. He was obedient to God because he suffered. And he said, if we suffer with him, we'll also reign with him. So don't look at suffering as being all bad, because guess what? That suffering has made you who the person you are today. The things that you've gone through only made you go to God, because that was the only help that you had. So it's good for you. There's nothing wrong with it.
Amen.
I know we cry, and we cry over, oh, this is happening, and, you know, I'm so hurt by this. But there's, what are you learning from it? Lord, what do I need to learn from this experience? What do I need to learn from this? So don't look at it as being, he said he would take even the bad things. He said all things work together for good. Everything, he doesn't throw away anything. Everything is used for our good. So I sit here today because of the adversities that I have gone through. And it only made me reach for him even harder and search for him even harder in that.
I'm on the same page as myself. I'm only sitting here. You know, and I'm in this place because of what I have, the trials that I've gone through, which has made me a better person.
Amen. 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 That's right. Right.
Amen.
Amen. Anything else? Anyone else?
Getting closer to that hour, and yes, I'm going to ask him if you would like to share anything or anything that's on your spirit that you would like to share with the body of Christ, for those who are listening, even those, you know, who are silent listeners. You know, it's good when we come together in unity and in the spirit of the Lord, and we all grow together. And we all grow together.
Amen.
It's not one grows the other. You know, we all grow together. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially if we're connected. When we are connected, you know, and we know that each and every one of us on this line are those who love the Lord, and you've been called, you know, for a certain time or for a certain purpose, and that is, you know, what this is all about, you know, so that we can continue to grow together. And also the word said, those who heed the words wisely, happy is he. Happy is he. If you want to be happy, stay in the word of God. If you want to live a happy life, stay in the word of God. You will have peace that passes all understanding. So what others may be going through, you may not be going through it. And if you're going through it, it's not going to be as difficult as someone else that does not know the Lord. So there's just beauty in being able to feed off the word of God. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
As we come to a closing, Reverend Maddie, thank you so much for taking the time to come on and share the word of God. You know, the Bible says, it talks about the feet of those who go about spreading the gospel. You know, in God's eyes, the shoes, the feet that those who spread the gospel are lovely. You know, He loves those that share
with others, to spread the gospel with others. And that is really what we're also be doing, speaking in to other people. It doesn't make a difference who they are, where they are, whether it's on Blog Talk, even on your job, but speaking into the lives of others. And that's really what this journey is all about. Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to ask if Dr. Suzanne, if she would close us out and pray over you as we go into, as we close out this this evening, if you would, please.
Father God, we praise you and thank you, dear Lord, for this evening, Father God, this ministry that's gone forth, Father God, this good teaching, Father God, studying your word. We thank you, dear Lord. We thank you, Father God, that for blessing Maddie, Father God,
yes,
allowing
yes.
her, Father God, speaking through her, Father God, even as she ministered to us.
Yes. Evening.
I thank you, Father God, that you have blessed her coming and going, her rising, her lying down, Father God.
Jesus.
That all things that she touched, they prosper. That they prosper, that they develop, Father God. I thank you, Lord, for how she's been used in ministry, Father God, and on the mission field, Father God, in her home, Father God, in her community, Father God. Let her continue to do those things. Let her strength, Father God, be renewed every morning, Father God.
Yes.
I thank you, dear Lord, that as she rests this evening, Father God, that she'll be completely restored and rejuvenated, ready to get up and face the day tomorrow, dear Lord. I thank you, Lord, that her household is blessed. All those that are in the household and those that are attached to her are blessed, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
I thank you, Lord, that you have blessed her husband, Father God.
Yes.
Bless their marriage, Father God. Bless the ministry that she has at home and beyond, dear Lord, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, dear Lord, and praise you. I thank you, Lord, that you have blessed every listener, Father God, and every home that's represented in our circle,
yes,
Father
Jesus.
God. Those that are with us this evening, Father God. Those who have had, been with us, Father God. And those that are outside our touch world, maybe wanted to be with us, dear Lord. I thank you, Father God, that you have blessed us. I thank you, Lord, for the covering that we had, that we sit under, Father God, under HIS ministry, Father God, and all those, Father God, that are represented with the ministry, dear Lord,
thank
we praise you. We thank you, Lord, for these years, Father God, of being able to be on the blog and now with Zoom as well, Father God, and for blessing our ministry, dear Lord.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
We thank you, Lord, for the teaching. We thank you, Lord, that you would keep us all on the straight and narrow, Father God. Help us, Lord, to be mindful of where we step, how we speak, Father God, how we carry ourselves, Father God, as we are truly, our true intention, Father God, is to be representatives of the kingdom, Father God.
Yes.
We are your children, and we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' sweet and holy name, we thank you. We come again. Amen.
It's so hard to